Okay, we're beginning here on the bottom of Chavav Amud Bet, in the last line, Ubukulan, Yesh Ben Tovat Ana LeBa'alim. When it comes to these matnot of the Kehuna, or any of these items that were mentioned in the Braita, the Ba'alim have the rights of distribution, which means that they can garner value, or they have the option to give it to whomever they choose. And that can be manifest in goodwill that they generate in giving it to other parties, or even sometimes tovat hanah can result in monetary compensation for the fact that they're going to give it to a particular party. Now, we learned in the Braita already that you can't be a kohen ha-maseiah bebeit ha-granot, which means the recipient can't be providing services or providing some sort of compensation in order to receive it. So that we've already made clear. So that can't be the tovat hanah we're speaking about. Ketzad, what is the tovat hanah that accrues to the individual who has the right of distribution? Israel she frish truma mikiryo, a Israel who takes off truma from his pile, umatzo Israel acher. And then another Israel walks up to him and says, Armalo, haylach sela zeh, take this sela, utneu ben biti kohen, and give it to my grandson who is a kohen. His daughter married a kohen. Now he has a grandson that is a kohen. That is mutar. Over there it's not kohen, I'm saying bebeit ha-granot. The recipient is the grandson. The party that's paying is Yisrael that has some vested interest in the party receiving it, but he himself cannot eat it. He himself cannot partake of it. So when he compensates, that's exactly what he's doing. He's giving you the tovat hanah. He's trying to sway or influence your ability or your right to give it to other parties. But that is your right. And therefore, if he pays you, that's fair. That is the tovat hanah that you're entitled to. Imaya kohen likohen asur. Now, we already established that if it was a kohen himself providing a service or paying for it, that's not allowed, because that's kohen ha-maseiah bebeit ha-granot. Then it looks like you're compensating for the truma, when the truma is supposed to be a gift, or the truma is supposed to be big dula, something that is in exchange for the kohanim, being the ovdei Hashem, and having no nachalah besides Hashem. So that is profaned by the fact that the kohen somehow provides services or pays for the truma. On the other hand, here we see that Israel that does it on behalf of his grandson, on behalf of another party, that's fine. So maybe it should work out that if you have a Kohen that gives money on behalf of another Kohen to get it, maybe that should have been okay. Here the Gemara says that is asur. The reason being, the Rabbeinu Gershom over here, because it's nireh kemo lo'oto Kohen mochra bo'oto asela. The fact that that Kohen could partake of it makes it look like he's actually selling it or buying it. Even though in the end he gives it to a third party, by the mere fact that the Kohen gave money, and it could be possibly that he could have eaten it or he could have taken it, that's problematic already, and therefore we won't allow it, even though he's not a Kohen HaMaseiah Bebeit HaGranot. Or you could see the problem being collusion. You scratch my back, I'll scratch your back, which is one Kohen will pay for the other Kohen, and then in the end they're just paying for the Truma, but they're doing it in a way that makes it look like it's coming through a third party. That would have been problematic, and that's why it's asur over here. Now, the Gemara asks a question, and it's not clear on what information the Gemara is saying this. Betana, my time alokamar matnot kuhuna. Hartana, why doesn't he mention over here matnot kuhuna? So now, the way Rashi says over here, and he actually eliminates something from the girsa, which actually helps. There are other girsaot that say, Vitanakama. Why about the Tanakama does he only mention these items and not the Matanot Kuna? Which implies that there is another opinion, which there is. There are Girsaot that have Rabbi Shimon Elazar, who's another opinion who says, Af, and he includes other items. By that way, it would be actually obvious that the Tanakama only mentioned Truma and did not mention Matanot Kuna. And in that way, you would understand what the question was. Rashi takes that of the Girsa, doesn't have a Tanakama. Over here, when it came to an example of Tovat Hanah LeBa'alim, over here it only gave the example of Yisrael taking off Truma. What about all the other items we mentioned in the Braita? Kohanim, Levim, Aniim, Mesayim, Beveta, Roim, Beta, Granot, Beta, Mitbachayim, Eno, Delehem, Truma, Maser, Matanot. There are all these other Matanot that are involved over here. Why is the only example that's brought by Tovat Hanah Truma? What happened to the other items, like Zroa, L'chayayim, and Keva? Why aren't those mentioned also as examples over here? You could just argue, the simplest thing to say is that he brought one example. He's not going to list all the Matnot Kuna. He brought one example. clear assumption of the Gemara is that's not the case, and that the example was the sole item, and that the other items were left out intentionally. Again, if you have the alternate girsa, which Rashi waits out, then it's clear if there's another Tana that says that the other items too, that means the Tanakama clearly did not believe those items, and that's why the girsa was the Tanakama. My time aloka mar matnot kuna. Why doesn't he include the matnot kuna? Amalacha, truma de kedushata gufi, by truma, which has inherent kedusha, came into lo mitchala, lo atin mitteba. Since it doesn't get redeemed, it doesn't lose its kedusha, nobody's going to make a mistake. When a person pays for the Israel to give the truma to a particular individual, to a particular kohen, over there, nobody's going to make a mistake that that compensation that was paid somehow was a redemption for that truma. The truma remains truma and remains with kedusha truma, and only a kohen can eat it. So there's no safek that the truma maintains its kedusha. The truma is still full-fledged truma, and the compensation was tovat hana'a. Nobody's going to make any mistake like that. Hani, on the other hand, these items came into kedusha tamim ninu. These items, since they are not kadosh b'kedusha taguf, but rather kadosh b'kedusha damim, that's an interesting terminology. We saw this back in Chulin with regards to the matnot of Zerah L'Chayayim and Keva, machloket as to whether kedushat damim, how literally do you take that? Does that mean that the Zerah L'Chayayim and Keva have kedushat damim? They have some level of kedusha? Or is this just a melitza? Is this just a term in contrast to kedushat taguf? They don't really have any inherent kedushat to them. They just, in contrast to kedushat aguf, you would call them kedushat damim, but not that they really have kedusha. So we saw that machloket back in Chulin. This is one of those pivotal gemaras, because here it calls it that it has kedushat damim, which would imply there is some sort of kedusha associated with those matnot, the Zerah L'Chayayim and the Keva. But because they don't have inherent kedusha, atei l'mitzebon, person will make a mistake that they are bar mitchal kedushutayu, person will come and make the wrong assumption. Remember, before he said you paid a sela in order to have it be given to his grandson. A sela is four zuz. Person's going to make the mistake and assume that the money that was paid by the Israel on behalf of his grandson not only was to sway the Israel or convince him to give it to his grandson, but it was a form of redemption that took the kedusha away from these items. And you're going to treat it like it is chulin. What's the problem? They are chulin. Zerah L'Chayayim and Keva are chulin, the gamre. A Yisrael can eat them. A kohen can invite over Yisrael, and he can eat it along with the kohen. The bechor, baal mum, after it's given to the kohen, is chulin the gamre. He can invite Yisrael over, and Yisrael can eat it. So what are we worried about over here? We're suggesting that the problem is that if you have money that's paid b'tovat hana'ah, that people will make a mistake. By truma, there's no room for that mistake, because truma is inherent kedusha. That remains, nobody's thinking there's any redemption here. On the other hand, Zerah L'Chayayim and Keva, Bechor Bamum, all these items, they are, in essence, kedusha tamim, the Gemara calls them, but might be chulin the gam, right? Yisrael can partake in them. And then people are going to think that that money that was paid in order to sway the Yisrael to give it to the Kohen was not just tovatana, but was some form of redemption. And therefore, there is no obligation here to treat them in any special way. But they're chulin. So what are you expecting? So the Bali Tosafot over here explained, remember that the matnot kuna have to be eaten, and the Gemara Darshan's on mashcha le'gdula, like those that are anointed, like royalty. You have to eat it like royalty. Which, if you don't have any personal preference, then you have to eat it roasted and with mustard, meaning in a fancy way. You have to treat it in a certain manner, and you have to give it a certain respect. And if a person thinks it's kulin, he won't do that. He won't treat it lemoshka bahen. And so that will be lost if we allow for tovatana. V'gabei truma, lo matzrinan sheyetzrich v'shuma achila b'gdula. And interestingly enough, independent of what we're discussing here, truma doesn't have lemoshka bahen. The Shema lo shayach gdula ela bebasar. Because maybe gdula is associated with meat, because when we're speaking about things that are brought before royalty, that would be basar. That'd be real stuff that brings simcha, things that are expensive, things that are of significance. Truma are staple products, and maybe even a sidebar to whatever basar is brought there. They're not the main dish. They're not the main item. And for that reason, there may be no din of the mashcha by truma, independent of what we're saying here. There may be no din of mashcha by truma, but then that would only add to this idea that it has inherent kedusha, and there's no additional restrictions associated with it, then it makes sense that you could do the tovat hanan, pay for it, and nobody will make a mistake. By the other items, if you pay for it, people are going to make a mistake about it, and that's why the Tana Kama does not allow it, or the Tana doesn't allow it with tovat hanan, or paying for that tovat hanan. Now, that's the way that Rashi reads the Gemara. Probably Tosafot read it in a similar fashion. If you look in the Rabbeinu Gershom, he says the question is actually not on here, the example of tovat hanan, but rather back on the Braita of Kohen and Mesayev and Beit HaGanot. And he says, V'tana kama dekamar einotein lekohen truma umaser bischaram imasukein chilolo. If you do such, you profaned it. My taima lo amar b'matnot nami. Why didn't he say it by the matnot as well? Meaning that the Braita we brought before says that if you give this item to the Kohen that was Mesayev Beit HaGanot, chilolo, you profaned it. We saw a machloket in the Rishonim yesterday as to whether that's the Yisrael is profaned it because he gave it in an improper manner, or is it the Kohen that is profaning it because he's accepting it and he is profaning what he's entitled to and which would have had Kedushat Hashem in it, and instead he's taking it as schar. But the example that was brought over there in the Braita was only a case of imosim kein chilolo, was only by truma umaser. What happened to matnot, Zerah, Lechaim, and Keba, Bechor, Bamom? Why aren't those mentioned there as well as items that would be Nitzchalel? That's the nature of the question, according to the Rabbeinu Gershom, which would then mean that, according to Rabbeinu Gershom, there's no problem with Tovat Hanan. You can give money for any one of the matnot kuna, because that's not the Gemara's question over here. The Gemara's question was back on the Braita. The way we read the Gemara, according to Rashi and Tosafot, there's a difference between what you can pay for and what you can't pay for. You can pay for truma. You can't pay for other items that would otherwise be chulin. According to the Rabbeinu Gershom, you can pay for whatever you want in order to sway the individual to give it to the party that you choose. But you question that we have, or the nature of the Gemara here, is about before. When is it profaned and when is it not profaned? And that's what the Gemara is discussing over here, which is that if you profane it and people know there's no such thing as pidyon by truma, so when you call it chilolo, everybody's going to know that it's not really chulin. It's just a knas. It's just a penalty. On the other items that really are almost chulin anyway, if you say that it's mechulal, people are going to think that it's really mechulal and that it doesn't have any din of matnot kuhuna, because you might come then to give it to the dogs, and that would be a minat bizayon in this situation. And we don't want people to make that mistake, and therefore they did not say that it was chilolo by those other items. According to the Rabbeinu Gershom, that's where the Gemara is asking. That's the nafkamina between truma and other matnot kuhuna. With regards to tovat hanan, there is no such distinction. Alright, now the Gemara continues and says, Amar Rava, trumat chutzla aretz. Truma that's given in chutzla aretz, ein ba mishum kohen ha-maseya bebeit ha-granot. There's no such din as Kohen HaMaseya Bebeit HaGranot. Now, we're going to go through a series of statements by the Gemara with regards to Truma and Chala about its status outside of Eretz Yisrael. What's clear is that Midoraita, Minatorah, Truma and Chala only apply in Eretz Yisrael, and they might only apply in Eretz Yisrael when Rov Am Yisrael is Nimtza Eretz Yisrael, and therefore even today, the truma and the challah that are taken off are midrabanan, because we don't have Rov Yisrael be'eretz Yisrael. That might change at some point in the near future. But as of right now, according to most Rishonim, they're midrabanan. There is the Ravid. There are others that disagree and think that you don't need that, and there might be a din d'oraita even today. But given that statement that truma midoraita only applies in Eretz Yisrael, we find Mishnayot that described to us that there were institutions, very early institutions, to move the din of truma outside of Eretz Yisrael. That is, all the way back in the time of Beit Bishon, after the Churban HaBayit and the Galut of Bavel, they didn't want truma to go by the wayside, and since Rov Yisrael was found at that point in Bavel, they instituted the necessity to give truma in Bavel. Later on, There was another institution in the time of Ezra, or sometime after the time of Ezra, where they also instituted that the lands that are adjacent to Eretz Yisrael, Mitzrayim, Ammon, Moab, Syria, would give Truma of what's called Trumat Chutz Laretz. So there are certain areas or certain places where Truma is taken off, even though it's not in Eretz Yisrael. It's obviously a mitzvah tzvuyah ba'aretz, and it should only apply in Eretz Yisrael. Those institutions that put it outside of Eretz Yisrael are exactly that. Institutions, shalot tishtakach Truma, so that the whole institution doesn't go by the wayside, so therefore they instituted Trumat Chutz Laretz. Now, those institutions might only be applicable when Trumat Eretz Yisrael is deoraita. Meaning that when Trumat Eretz Yisrael deoraita, maybe the other institutions are important, but when Trumat Eretz Yisrael is not in effect, maybe the Trumat Chutz Laretz goes by the wayside. We'll speak about that in a little bit. Or maybe the reason that we don't take off Truma anymore is because there's no one to give the Truma to, and maybe because of that, we also don't give it in Chutz Laretz. We'll have to explain that. So now, when we're speaking over here, Trumat Chutz Laretz, Ein Bahem Shum Koyin Maseiv Beit HaGanot. What Rambam points out is that the whole concept of Koyin Maseiv Beit HaGanot is only true when you're dealing with real Truma. Truma Eretz Yisrael, Truma Doraita. But the Truma of Chutz Laretz does not have that effect. And now we're going to have examples of that. Rav Chama, Yoiv Le Deshameh. Rav Chama gave the Truma to his servant, to the person that was working for him in his house. Assumption is that the person who was working for him was a Kohen. He basically paid him with Truma. That's an example of exactly that, that Trumat Chutz Laretz has that capacity to be used b'Kohen HaMaseiyah b'Beit HaGanot. Amar Shmuel, Trumat Chutz Laretz b'Teila B'Rov. Truma in Chutz Laretz is Batel B'Rov. That's opposed to, normally, Truma is only Batel 100 to 1, B'Meya. In Chutz Laretz, the Truma of Chutz Laretz is Batel B'Rov. Means that all you need is a majority, and then it's wiped out. Now, what is the impact of it being Batel Berov? Rashi claims that it's Batel Berov, the Ochlal Azar. Once it's Batel Berov, even a Zar can eat it. Obviously a Kohen Tameh can eat it, but even a Zar can eat it. Tosafot is not swayed by that argument, and he says, Latira la Kohen Tameh Kamar. The only thing it permits it is to be eaten by a Kohen Tameh, not to be eaten by Yisrael. He says, and he brings examples from the Gemara that indicate that it's still 100 to 1 for Yisrael to partake of it, even by Trumat Chutz Laretz. So Rashi thinks that Batel Berov means that both Yisrael and a Kohen Tameh can partake of it. Tosafot thinks that it only means a Kohen Tameh, not Yisrael. Rabo Mevatla Berov V'Ochala B'Mei Tumato, as Tosafot points out. And Rabbeinu Gershom points out, Rabo was a Kohen. It's based on the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that Rabba and Abaye were Beit Eli. There's a machloket there about the Girsa, whether it's Rabba or Rava. Both the Tosafot and the Rabbeinu Gershom over here are leaning towards that side that says it's Rabba is the Girsa and that he is a Kohen. So Rabba is a Kohen, not only if it was Batel Berov, he actively was Mevatel Berov. He would take a majority of Chulin mixed together with his Truma, and then he used to eat it when he was b'mei tumato, when he was tameh. Rav Huna, great Rav Yeshua, kimitrami le chamra de truma, if he used to get some sort of wine of truma, havarami tre nat le dechulin, he would make a mixture of 2 ladles full of chulin, v'chada nat la de truma, and then another ladle of truma, and then that's batel berov, that's 2 to 1, 2 of chulin, 1 of truma. Shachochad mikan veilech rami, and then he would take 1 out of those 3. Mikan veilech, there 2 forward, rami chada v'shakil chada. He'd put 1 of truma in, and then take 1 out of the mixture. What Rav Huna, Brother Rav Yeshua, was doing was trying to create the bitul berov. So how he created the bitul berov was he took 2 chulin, 1 truma, was mevatel them. Then he took 1 out of there. After he took 1 out of there, the next time he wanted to mevatel the truma, he brought another 1 of truma, put it into the mixture that was left, the 2 that were left, and then he took 1 out, put 1 in, took 1 out. And basically, he was suggesting that there was a bitul berov when he took the 1 out, that took away, quote unquote, the truma that was there, and then he would add 1 in to be mevatel it, and then take another 1 out, and then would continue to do the process of bitul all along, because he kept taking 1 out. Now, it sounds from here that he had to take one in the first place in order for that to happen. In Old Dalid, he takes out in the Shita Mikubetz that he takes out V'shakel Chad. Takes out the word V'shakel Chad. If you do that, then the concept that's being used here is Kama Kama Batil, which is that you have two Kulin, one Shuma. The next time Shuma falls in there, or what he's saying is I put one Shuma in and I took one out, then we say it's Batil. Even though, as you keep doing this, the Shuma comes down, keeps starting building up inside of there to even it out, we don't say that it's Chozer V'Neyor, we just say Kama Kama Batil, and you can continue to do it. So it's working with one of two concepts, either Vidl Barov or Kama Kama Batil. But see here that he's actively being mevatel Trumat Chutz La'aretz. And now, if you look in the Rabbeinu Gershom, he puts in that Afilu Yisrael B'yomei Tumah Kamo Chulin. You can eat it even in your Mei Tumah like Chulin. And his proof is from the fact that Rav Huna Brei de Rav Yeshua did this. And we don't find anywhere that Rav Huna Brei de Rav Yeshua was a Kohen. So yes, Rabba was a Kohen. But Rav Huna Brei de Rav Yeshua was not a Kohen, and that would be supportive of Rashi's contention over here that this was allowed not only for Kohanim, but also for Yisraelim. And the Bittul Barov works to allow not only a Kohen Tamei, but even a Zara to eat it, because Rav Huna Brei de Rav Yeshua wasn't a Kohen. V'amar Shmuel, Trumat Chutz La'aretz, Ochel V'Olech, V'achakach Mafrish. That in Trumat Chutz La'aretz, you can take it off retroactively. You don't have to take it off preemptively. You can actually eat it, leave whatever is at the end, and then call that truma. V'amar Shmuel, ein trumat chutz la'aretz asura, ela b'mi shetuma yotzei alav migufo. Someone to eat trumat chutz la'aretz, the only truma that disqualifies you is truma that emanates from your body. That means trumat azav, trumat zava, trumat nida, trumat balkeri. Those are all trumot that are exuded by the body. Tumot that come through nigiyah, through contact, like tumat sheretz, tumat tamet, all of those tumot will not disqualify you from eating truma chutz la'aretz. Hani milei ve'achila. And even those tumot only disqualify you from eating trumat chutz la'aretz. Aval b'nigiyah, leit lamba. Touching it doesn't matter. So here you see that this trumat chutz la'aretz, which is all a takanat chachamim, they are making the point that we don't treat it like full-fledged truma. It's only really there to lotish dakach Torah truma. And because of that, they treat it in a quote-unquote light manner, which is that they're mevatel it actively. When it's batel, kohen tamei can eat it, or maybe even a zayir, according to Rashi. People with truma can consume the truma, as long as it's not truma that's exuded by their body. They can touch the truma, even though they are tameim with all these items, and it's not an issue. So, Amar Ravina. So now we have the big step from this, which has huge halachic nafkaminot, which is Hilkach, Nida, Kotzach Chala, Va'ochala Kohen Katan. A woman who is a Nida, which is Tuma Hayotza Migufa, that goes out of her body, that's exuded by her body, she can separate out Chala. Because we just said here, there's no problem of Nigia. Even with Tuma Hayotza Migufa, there's no problem of touching it. So when she's in contact, when she takes off the challah, no problem. In context of the Gemara, we're talking about challat chutz la'aretz. And in challat chutz la'aretz, therefore, since there's no problem nigia, the nida can be mafrish the challah, and then she can give it to a kohen katan, to a kohen who's not yet of age. We'll see what that means. V'ilekha kohen katan, if there is no kohen katan available to eat it, shakla beresh maso, you take it at the tip of the poker, v'shadye v'tanura, and then you burn it up in the oven. V'hadar mefarsha chala achritai, and then you take off a second chala, ki heche delotish takach torat chala, so that we don't forget about the institution of chala, v'ochala kohen gadol. And then a kohen who's of age can eat it. Alright, so now this opens up a huge literature about how does chala work in chutz la'aretz, and what are the practices today? Part of that is precipitated by, as you can see, the Balei Tosafot speak about this, that there is a Mishnah in Chala that seems to indicate otherwise, or seems to give different terms. So we have to reconcile with that Mishnah. In addition, we have to understand what the practice is here. The first item that's mentioned in here by Ravina is that a Nida can be Mafrish, the Chala. That's basically a Pol Yotze, a derivative of the statement before of Shmuel, that if you have Tumah Yotzei Migufa, doesn't matter with regards to Negiyah. So that's why that Chala can be separated by Nida. And the first question you have to ask is, why are we giving it to a Kohen Katan then to eat? What's the purpose or the point of giving it to a Kohen Katan to eat? The Rashi that we have here brings two interpretations. They're exactly the same. But if you look in the Shita Mekubetzet, Ot Yud Gimel, he actually brings the first suggestion of Rashi, which is, Ho'il v'hi atzmat tmeya bedina, shetuma yatsa migufa. She herself is tmeya, because it's tuma yatsa migufa. Therefore, we don't want to give it to a Kohen who's a gadol. Rather, we want to give it to a Kohen who's a katan, who's not, in essence, mitzuveh and a mitzvot. So since she was mitama v'chala with tuma yatsa migufa, even though it's permitted for her to do such, and permitted for her to take the chala off that way, in the end, the chala is still tmeya. And chala tmeya, a kohen shouldn't be eating chala tmeya. Chala tmeya, chuma tmeya are supposed to be burnt, not eaten. So therefore, we don't want to give it to a gadol. We want to give it to a katan. So we don't want to have a kohen gadol eat it. Rather, we want to have a kohen who is a katan partake of it. And that's why Rashi says, velo gadol. We don't want a gadol eating it because this is chala tmeya. And we want a katan. In that sense, katan means under 13, and gadol means above 13. Or if you say chinuch, so then it'd have to be a katan below the age of chinuch, versus a gadol would be someone over the age of chinuch or a gadol. Rashi brings a second reason, and that reason is based on what the she'utot says, which is that even though the nida, when she touched it, she made it tmeah, we still want to preserve a certain sense of kedusha to the chala, which is that even though now she touched it and it is tmeya, nevertheless you still have Shmuel's other din, which is when you have tumah yotzei migufo, you have tumah that's exuded by the body, you're not allowed to eat such chala. So if you pick a katan never has tumah yotzei migufo, because a katan is not old enough to have a sighting of caring, and given that, we pick someone under the age of 9, and since he's under the age of 9, he's not going to be tamei to much carry. But the implications of that are twofold. First of all, over the age of 9 would be problematic, not just a gadol. The second implication is that if a gadol went to the mikveh, he'd be no different than a katan. Which is that the only thing we don't want is someone tumei yotzei migufo eating this. But if you went to the mikveh and you retire yourself for that tuma, you'd be allowed to eat it. And that's what Rashi brings over here. Ve'im taval l'keryo arehu ke'katan. If a gadol goes to the mikveh, he's like a katan. The word katan here just means tahor mitumat keri. So either you're tahor mitumat keri because you can't have keri, that's a katan, or because you're a gadol and went to the mikveh, you're like a katan now. So those are two different explanations. And I have a nafkamina, first of all, on the age threshold as to what is a katan and what is a gadol, and different reasons. The one reason is that we have chalat me'ah. We don't want a gadol eating that, so we give it to a katan. The other view is that even though it's tameh, you still the restriction against eating chalat chutzlaritz when you have tumah yotzei migufo. Therefore, we're trying to get someone who doesn't have tumah yotzei migufo to eat it. So that's either a katan or a gadol who went to the mikveh. Those what says has nothing to do with either of these items, and that is because what ends up happening here is the chalat that you're mafrish is tiny. And since it's so small, the only person who's going to be interested in it, who's going to want to eat it, is a kohen katan. So don't give it to a kohen gadol, but you give it to a kohen katan. The second challah that you take off, that's going to be a full-size challah. That you give to a kohen who's a gadol because it's a significant size. So what we see from this, according to the Baal Tosafot, is that there's a difference in sizes between the first one and the second one. Challah has, like truma, no shi'ur min haTorah. Anything is poter, the gabei challah, and the gabei truma. Kita achat poter tetakri, what is the expression Chazal used with regards to truma. Chazal instituted, based on a smachtot from the psukim, that by truma you give 1/40th, 1/50th, 1/60th, depending on how generous you are. By truma, they said that you give 1/24th of the dough as challah, and if it's on a commercial basis, it's 1/48th. Tosfot's pointing out, and this is based on the Mishnayot in Challah that we're going to discuss in a minute, is that in this case, since you're going to burn the first one anyway, or you're going to get rid of it anyway because it's Challah Tmeah, that Challah has no size to it. There's no size requirement, and therefore it's very small. And that's why he says you give it to a Katan. The second Challah that you take off after you burnt the first chala, it's lotishtakach torat chala. That's so you don't forget the din of chala. That chala you want to take off at the ratios of normal chala, because you're trying to use it to remember the din of chala. And so for that reason, the second one's going to have a larger size to it, and that's why you give it to a goyin who is a gadol. That's Tosafot's explanation for katan and gadol over here, as opposed to the reasons that we saw in Rashi. Now, there's one last point to make here, is why do you have to take it with a poker? It's already tameh, she already touched it, why can't she touch it again? Rashi says, because the common to efshar, leads the ruay, mistarei miligaba, mecharsha karol hashem. Once she already made it into chala, and called it a shame chala, we try our best not to make it tamei, and therefore we advise her, we try to have her use a poker instead of touching it directly, so it minimizes the tumah that is brought onto this item, even though it's already tamei, and even though there's no restriction against tumah when you touch chalat kotlaritz, nevertheless, we try to minimize doing such. If it's inevitable, fine, but if it's not inevitable, then let us make sure, try to make sure that there's no tumah. Tosavot says, I don't know where Rashi got that from, it makes no sense. We just said before, Shmuel said, to a chalat chutzlaritz, you can touch it when you're a tamei. There's no restrictions. Tosavot says it's a practical issue. You're going to put this chalat into the fire. You don't want to stick it in the fire with your hand and bury it deep into the coals with your hand. A poker is the best way to do that. The reason it's on the edge of the poker is so that you can burn it well, or you can burn it up well, you can deal with it well. The question of what this masai is, Rashi says it's a forgone, which is like a poker. Tosfos says Rashi might be right, or it could be a marda, which is a scraper. In their day, the way they used to bake bread was they used to plaster the dough to the outside walls of the tanur, and then you had to scrape it off. It was actually a skill set, Ridiatapat, which is discussed in the Gemara in Shabbat, as to it's a chokhmah velo melachahi. But that marda is the scraper that you used to take the chalaf. That might be what the masa is over here. Is the scraper that takes the dough off. So, Tosfos gives one of two of these is the kli that you're using, but he favors saying that it's a practical issue, not an issue of avoiding tumah, like Rashi suggests over here. According to Rashi, you might even come to the conclusion that a nida is only allowed to do this if there's no one else around to do it. Meaning that if there's someone else who could be mafrish the chala or could do this without it being tameh, maybe according to Rashi, you would have to opt for that option. Nida is allowed to when there's no other option. Whereas for Tosafot, it doesn't matter. Nida can do it, even if there are other people around, because there's no restriction against Tumah whatsoever. All right, so now Tosafot over here brings the Mishnah from Chala. And the Mishnah of Chala divides the world into three locations. It says there's Eretz Yisrael, there's Chutz Laretz, and then there's Chutz Laretz. So there are three different locations. In Eretz Yisrael, there were only Mafrish Chala once, and it seems to be that they did it B'tara, and it was given to the Kohanim, and they kept it B'tara, in Eretz Yisrael. In Chutz Laretz, you already have a problem of Tumat Eretz Ha'amim, which already is going to make it problematic, even if you're Mafrishit, because Chazal were goes there in Eretz Ha'amim, or outside of Eretz Yisrael, that there is Tumat Eretz Ha'amim. So then the ability to preserve Chala in Chutz Laretz is not easy because of that problem, and a Kohen, who's there, is going to automatically be Tamei from that Din Durabonon. There's the Mishnah Masechet Chala, Perek Dalet Mishnah Chet. Rabbi Gamliel Omer Shlosha Ratzot Chala. Eretz Yisrael v'ad Kziv. Eretz Yisrael until Kziv, which is Eretz Yisrael proper. Chala chat. They only took off one chala. Mikziv v'adanar v'adamana shtei chalot. From there, Kziv and outward, they took off two chalot. Achad l'ur, one which was burnt up, v'achad l'kohen, and one which was given to the kohen. Shel ur, yesh la shiur. The one that you put in the fire has a minimum shiur, meaning the shiur of chala, 124 to 148. Shel kohen ain la shiur. The one that was given to the kohen is any amount. Min anar vadam na, from nar until abna, vilifnim, there, shtei chalot. There's also two chalot. Further out in Eretz Yisrael, there's two chalot. Achat the ur, one to the fire, v'achat the kohen, one goes to the kohen. Shel ur ain la shiur. The one that goes into the fire has no shiur. V'shel kohen yesh la shiur. The one given to the kohen has a shiur, which is what we just discussed in the Baalei Tosafot. About Chalat Chutz Laretz, that the one that in the fire might go to the Katan because it's so small. The one that is given to the Kohen is a larger size because that's Ishur. From Ravina's statement, it makes it sound like if you do have a Kohen to eat it, then you don't have to be Surefit, which is, as the Baalei Tosafot says, is against the Mishnah in Chala. The Tosafot answers in the end that they differentiate between the areas surrounding Eretz Yisrael, and Chutz Laaretz that's further out. In the areas surrounding Eretz Yisrael, what you could get mixed up and think that you can eat challah bitum'ah, there they forced you to burn that first challah, whereas in Chutz Laaretz, where there is no question that there's no din of challah midoraita or even remotely close to Eretz Yisrael, over there they gave you the option to have a kohen eat it, and if there's no kohen to eat it, then you would burn it. Although there are Rishonim who say that in all places the din is that way, that you have to take it off, the first one, burn it, and then give the second one to the kohen. And Ravina's statement was about that second challah that is given to the kohen, that if that second challah, there's no kohen to eat it, then you burn that second challah, and then you have to take off a third challah in order to accomplish what the Mishnah says. You can see that in Tosfot where he says, Cholam afreshim shtei chalot, achat d'or v'achat d'kohen, which is mentioned in the Mishnah in challah, dodan mikomot krovim l'Eretz Yisrael. Those places close to Eretz Yisrael, mitchazi le'chala diduk chalat ha'aretz. Their challah looks like challah Eretz Yisrael, t'meya, betuna sreifa, the gazrua le'ashalo lo'chla. They made a gzera not to eat it, afilu kohen tahor gamur. Machmachi t'meya, because the challah itself is t'meya. Ulukach mafreshim le'olam shel ur, b'challah shnia, shelo tishtakak torat challah. That's why they always have to take off two. One to put in the fire, one to not forget the din of challah. Can a phrase nami hachi? Aval kan, in our situation, b'bavel, should say rachok me'eretz Yisrael, it's far away, v'lo mitchazeh challah didu k'challah ta'aretz. They don't look like challah ta'aretz Yisrael, that's t'meya. Lo gazu alav shum isur machmat tumah atzma. They weren't go there on it itself just because it was tameh. Vakachi tiru gam lekohen tameh. That's why even a kohen tameh can eat it. Kevin de lo yatzal av migufo. As long as the tumah was not something that exuded by his body. Gam itiru levatel berov vashnia ochel kohen gadol afilu zav dolo maflik hacha kalau. And the second challah that they take off is almost not problematic at all, which is that even a kohen who's gadol, who's a zav, can eat it. Meaning that the way that Tosfot views this is that there's a huge downgrade in the strictures with regards to Chalat Bavel versus the Chalat of the areas around Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, when even if you're Mafrish 2 in Bavel, the first one that you're Mafrish has a much lower standard whereby even a Kekatam can eat it. According to Rashi, maybe even a Kohen Tahor can eat it. The second Chalat that you take off, anyone can eat that. Meaning that even a Kohen Gadol that is a Zav can eat it because we have no restrictions with regards to that. So Tosfot says there's a huge step down outside those areas that surround Eretz Yisrael. So what's clear is, in Eretz Yisrael, they took off challah like it is min haTorah, and they were mafrishit in such a manner. On the other hand, when it came to Chutz Laaretz, it was all shalot tishtakach torat challah. It's also that they shouldn't forget the din of challah, or that they should maintain the din of challah. Those areas that are adjacent to Eretz Yisrael, since either at some point they had kedusha, which is maybe it's the difference between Kedushat and the Aliyah Shniyah from Bavel versus Kedushat Olei Mitzrayim, which was in the first time they came up. That distinction maybe is this point. And therefore, since this area once had Kedusha, or we're speaking about the areas adjacent to Eretz Yisrael, those areas, the first challah is the real one, like it is in Eretz Yisrael. And since it's Tameh, you burn it. The second one is just given, Shalot Tishtakach Torat challah. In Chutz Laaretz, way out in Chutz Laaretz, there you're giving it only Shalot Tishtachach Torat Challah. The second one is given to the Kohen so that you don't forget about the din of Challah. But there it's reversed from the places that are closer to Eretz Yisrael. There the more important one is the bigger one that you give to the Kohen. In the places closer to Eretz Yisrael, it's the first one that's the important one because that's like Challah, a regular Challah, and that's the one that is burnt. Now, Tosafot makes a comment over here asking, why is it that we have this din with regards to Chalat Chutz Laaretz, and we don't have it in Chumat Chutz Laaretz. Meaning today, nobody takes off Chumah in Chutz Laaretz. Everybody takes off Chalat in Chutz Laaretz. So Tosafot makes a comment here, which is that, he makes it here, he makes it in a couple other places. It's more important for people to remember there's a din of Chalat, mishum deshaychi b'chol adam. It applies to any individual, that bakes bread or makes dough. Making dough is something that everybody participates in, everybody partakes in. Maybe today that would have changed. Truma only applies to people who own property, or people that are processing, meaning that the grains and the planting and the land ownership is only the big guys or the commercial guys, And therefore, we don't have to institute something so lotishtakach Torah Truma. Because those people who do it know that they have to take off Truma, or will remember they have to take off Truma when they come to Eretz Yisrael. By dough, it's handed to everybody. Everybody bakes dough. Everybody makes dough in their house. Therefore, it's a individual thing. Because of that, there's more fear that people won't understand and won't remember the din of challah. And therefore, they instituted that it applies even in Chutz Laaretz. Might be interesting today, where not everybody bakes bread. It's also gone to a commercial standard. Maybe there, it would have the same din. Although you can still see a distinction. Very few people have processed grain in their life. Most people have kneaded dough and baked something in their life. And therefore, it's true that challah is individual, whereas tzvuah is really relegated to those that are processing and working in the farms. And that's why Chazal instituted that challah chutz laaretz has more importance, or still is in practice, versus trumat chutz laaretz, which is not in practice at all. So here, just to bring it down, I'll send you out the mekorot on truma bezman hazeh and challah bezman hazeh. Just bring you the bottom line of the Shulchan Aruch, who says over here that a trumot masrot eim noagim b'nei Torah ela b'eretz Yisrael. That's what we already discussed. And v'nevim itkinu shinuagim afilu b'eretz Shinar. We spoke about the Nevi'im already instituted that it applies in Bavel. V'chamim rishonim itkinu shinuagim af b'eretz Mitzrayim eretz Mon Moav. Those are the places to both Eretz Yisrael and Syria, all of those areas. V'shar ha'ratzot ein trumot masrot noagim b'nei. Anywhere else, there's no application of Trumot and Masrot, as opposed to Challah, that has broad application in all the lands, and that's what Tosfot was trying to deal with. Bizman hazeh, today, afilu makom shikinu bo yifziku bo alei Bavel, even the places that were nitkadesh b'kedusha shniya, when they came up in the time of Ezra, afilu b'Ezra, ain't chiyuv Trumot Masrot min haTorah. Even in the time of Ezra, there was no din of Trumot Masrot min haTorah. You need everyone to be in Eretz Yisrael, not just some of you to be in Eretz Yisrael. The Rama over here quotes V'yesh Chokim. There are those that argue and say that even today in Eretz Yisrael, Shumot Masrot do Oraita, we generally today take them off and assume that it is Midrabanan. We are Choshesh for those Shitot that say it's do Oraita, but we do some Kulot. We have many Kulot, including taking it off retroactively, which is only something you could do with the Rabbanon, not something you could do with the Oraita. So we generally treat it as if it is only a din the Rabbanon today with Trumot and Masrot. Truma Gedola bizman hazeh. Truma Gedola today, she omedet l'sreifa, which you're going to end up burning it, mipnei atuma, shiura koshu. It is only a koshu. Vit, notein bizman hazeh, l'kol kohen shiirtzeh. You can give it to any kohen you want. Chaver amaretz, v'afilu em miyuchas. Even if he's not miyuchas, but he's machzik himself as a kohen, the hu sorfa, and he burns it. And then the kohen could get the benefit for it because of that sreifa. I just learned this. I didn't know this before. One of the wealthiest individuals in the country is the Rav of Ramat Gan, because he was given ownership over the zoo in Ramat Gan. The reason he was given the ownership over the zoo in Ramat Gan is because as a kohen, if he gets truma, he's allowed to benefit from the truma, and he can give the truma to the animals that are in the zoo. And so therefore, the way that they deal with feeding the animals in the zoo is to take all this truma that would have been burnt or thrown out, and they give it to the kohen, and since they're his animals, he can get hana from it, derech kliya, and that's what they feed to the animals in the zoo. If they were not mukshar the kabel truma, then when you're mafrish over here, then it's not tamei yet, and you can't burn it. You can only burn the truma once it becomes tamei'a. And if it's not mukshar the kabel truma, asur the sofra, then you can't burn it. The tov lakshir otam. The Rama says, better to be makshir them before you do the meiruach akri, kadesh tekabel truma ve'emutal l'sofra, so that you can burn it, and you can intentionally put it in that state. Given that trumat chutz laaretz, trumat eretz Yisrael today, it's only midrabanan, we were very makyo on trumat chutz laaretz. Although, from what we see here, technically, the areas around Eretz Yisrael and in Bavel, if there were still Jews that were in Iraq, Jews that were in Mitzrayim, then technically they might have to take off Truma, mid the Rabbanan. Tosfot, in a number of places in Shas, quotes a cryptic Yushalmi in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that says that in Chutz Laaretz they were giving Trumot Masrot, Achi Batlum Rubin, until the youngsters came along and eliminated it. The Yushalmi never really gives the reason as to why they eliminated it. Could speculate that it's either because of takala, problems that could exist if you take it off, but there really aren't Kohanim and Levim to take it, or possibly because, since in Eretz Yisrael it's only Midrabanan, maybe there's not as much of an imperative to take off in Chutz La'aretz Truma. Now, with regards to Chala v'zman hazeh, Shulchan says in Yoredeya Siman Shin Chav Bet, Mitzvah Aseh Lafrish Truma Ma'isav Lidna L'Kohen. Ein Chayvim B'Chala Min HaTorah Ela Be'eretz Yisrael Bulvad. Chala is only Midoraita in Eretz Yisrael. V'zman Shekol Yisrael Sham. And again, only when all the Jews are there. Therefore, today, Afilu B'Mei Yisrael Be'eretz Yisrael Ein Ela Midivreihem. It's only Midirabanan. Mafrishim Chala B'Chutz La'aretz Midivrei Sofrim. We take off Truman Chutz La'aretz Midivrei Sofrim. Shalot Yishtakach Torat Chala Mi'Yisrael. So it's not forgotten. Here there's no limitation to location. Anywhere in Chutz La'aretz you take it off. And then he says, Gimel Dinim L'Chala B'Shlosh Aratzot. There are three different places in Chutz La'aretz, which is the areas that were Higziku Olei Bavel. Over there you take off one Chala, that's Kashir, and it's given to the Kohanim to eat. The remainder of Eretz Yisrael that was Nitkadesh by Olei Mitzrayim and not Olei Bavel, there they take off two Chalot. The first one is the 148th. And it's burnt. The second one has no shiur and it's given to the Kohanim. And anything outside of those boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, Ben Besuria, Ben Mishar Tzot, they take off two chalot. The first one has no shiur and it's burnt. The second one has 148th and it's given to the Kohanim. Umutera l'tmeim, afilu l'zavim l'zavot. And it's mutera to be eaten by anybody, even someone has tumah yotze migufa. B'zman hazeh, she'ena issa Torah, mipnei tumat hamet. Today, we have chala. The problem is that the isa is tamei tuma tamei. Mafrishin chala achat b'chol Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, we take off one echad mimemchet, v'sorfim ota, 148, and we burn it. B'vnei shehi tmeya. U'michsiv adamna mafrishim shniya l'kohen l'achila, v'en l'shiur sheya advar mikodem. But outside of the current borders of Eretz Yisrael, we saw the same practice of taking off two from each of them. So that's what Shulchan Aruch paskins, and then he goes on to speak about Chalat Chutz La'aretz and all the dinim of Tuma that we just discussed, and then there is a Rama. The Rama says, Ve'yesh Omrim, Ke'ivan Shein Chala Ne'achelet B'zman Hazeh Be'eretz Yisrael, since in Eretz Yisrael they don't eat the Chala either, they burn it also, Gam B'Shar Mekamot Inet Tzrichim Nefrish Rak Chala Achat U'Lisorfa. All you have to do is take off one and burn it. V'chein HaMinag Pashut B'Kol Minyo Deilu. That's the minhag everywhere. Shema fishim rakhala achat below shiur. Take off any amount without any shiur. Vishorfim ota. Kamo sheyu osim. Kama fishim shtei chalot. The same way when they took off two, they used to burn the first one. Shkalat ha'ur lo yela shiur. In Chutz La'aretz, the shkalat ha'ur had no shiur to it. Umikom makom no gimli tol kazayit. At least take a kazayit off so it's not nothing that you're taking off. It has some significance to it. So that explains our practices today. And Tosafot spends a lot of time on this, trying to reconcile between the Bavli, the Yerushalmi, the Mishnayot that we have, and the practices that we have in terms of giving it and to whom we give it, and the types of Tuma that affect or impact on Chala. Right, so now the Gemara continues. Rav Nachman, Rav Amram, Rami Bar Chava, Gazli Barba. They were all traveling on a boat. Salik Rav Amram left Nuye. Rav Amram walked away in order to relieve himself. Atai Hayitata. This woman came, Alat Kamayu, she went before the Rabbanan that remained, which are Rabbi Barchama and Rav Nachman. Amrlo, Tamei Meit, Maushit Bo, Vokel Chuma, Chutz La'aretz. Someone is Tamei Chuma Tamei, does he have to go to the mikveh in order to become Tohor, in order to eat Chuma Chutz La'aretz? There's no way he's going to become Tohor, because he's Tamei Chuma Tamei. When someone is Tamei Chuma Tamei, they get sprinkled on themselves on the third and seventh day from the Paraduma. The seventh day they go to the mikveh, and then have Erev Shemesh in their Tahor. So what she's basically asking is, there's no Parah Duma, there's no Shlishi and Shvi, but does the din of mikveh still apply? Even though they're never going to be Tahor, do we still do that aspect of going to the mikveh in order to be Tahor? Is there any purpose to that? I'm Amar Rav Nachman, the Rami Bar Chama, B'chi Hazah Yesh Lanu? He basically says, we don't have any Hazah, so there's no being Tahor from Tumat Tameit. There's no Tahor being Tumat Tameit. What's the point of going to the mikveh? Now, I'm reading it like the Pali Tosafot. We'll see in a second. Rashi reads it a little differently. Amalei Rami Bar Chama, lo leikush le l'saba? So Rami Bar Chama says, Rav Nachman, shouldn't we wait for the elder one, being Rav Amram, who's older than them? Shouldn't we give him the respect to wait for him to see what he says about it? Adolchi ata Rav Amram. In the meantime, Rav Amram returned. Amalo, hachi amarav. Rav Amram, who's a Talmud of Rav, says, this is what Rav said. Tamei meit tobel bochel b'chumat chutz laretz. That a Tamei meit has to go to the mikveh in order to eat Trumat Chutz La'aretz. Gemara comments on that. The halacha is not like that. So Rav Amram's conclusion was that you do have to go to the mikveh based on Rav. Rav Nachman said, why go to the mikveh if you have tamei mate? The Gemara concludes, no need to go to the mikveh. The way the Gemara reads simply is that the question here is, do you have to go to the mikveh at all? Or do you not have to go to the mikveh at all? The question the one was asking, do you have to go to the mikveh? Rav Nachman said no. Rav Amram said yes based on the memory of Rav. The Gemara concludes, you don't have to go to the mikveh at all. And you can see that in Tosafot. That's what Tosafot says, Lady Kotavdei, Bahama Trik Tvila, El Afilu Tvila Loboi. You don't even need the Tvila. You don't even need to go to the mikveh at all. According to Bahai Tosafot, you can eat the Trumat Chutzlaret. Rashi reads the whole Gemara differently, that the question was not whether you went to the mikveh. The question is, do you need Herav Shemesh? Can you just go to the mikveh and eat the challah? Or do you need to go to the mikveh and then wait for Herav Shemesh? So Rav Nachman said that you don't need Herav Shemesh. You're not going to become Torah from the Tumata Maid anyway. There's no Hazah, Sheni, Shlishi, so why do you have to wait for Herav Shemesh? Just go to the mikveh and you're fine. That's it, you're done. The way we have in our Gemara is the Amar Mar. Because Amar Mar Zutra Mishmei Herav Shesh. The way that the most Gemara so read, and you can see that in Shittim Gubetzit, is that they take out the Dalit. This is a totally separate statement. Amar Mar, Zutra Mishmei Herav Shesh, Tameh Sheretz, Tovel Bo Chel B'Trumat Chutz Laretz. That if someone who's Tameh Tumata Sheretz goes to the mikveh, and then he can eat Trumat Chutz Laretz. And the locha is not like him. So according to Tosafot, the Amar Mar Zutra is backing up this fact. Because Amar Mar Zutra and Rav Sheshet says you need tefillah for Tumata Sheretz. And on that we say, there where it is helpful to go to the mikveh, because there's only din of mikveh over there. Yet despite that, Mar Zutra or the Gemara concludes, but rather the locha is like Shmuel, that you can eat Trumat Chutzlaretz or Chalat Chutzlaretz bitum'ah. Given that, then there's no point in going to the mikveh. Even in a situation where the mikveh would help, we don't make you go to the mikveh. And certainly in the case of Tumat Meit, where the mikveh will have no application or no help, it is unnecessary or you don't need to go to the mikveh. And therefore the Dalit here would be Damar, according to the Balei HaTosafot. Whereas according to Rashi, both Rav Amram and Rav Sheshet over here, who say that Tzarich Lidbol, means you have to go to the mikveh without Herav Shemesh. And the Gemara's conclusion is, that's not true. You need mikveh and you need Herav Shemesh. So according to Rashi, when Rav Sheshet proposed over here, was that you go to the mikveh without Herav Shemesh. And the Gemara's conclusion is, that's not the halacha. The halacha is you do need Herav Shemesh. And since by Tumat Sheretz, where it is efficacious, you require Herav Shemesh, then by Tumat Amate, even though it's not going to be efficacious, we will also require Herav Shemesh. Although, there may be no connection between them, because as you see in Ot Aleph, the Shittim and Kubetzet, he takes out the Dalit and says, Amar Mazutra Mishmei Herav Sheshet, which is a totally separate statement. If you read it like that, then the statement of Herav Sheshet does not relate to what we said before, and each one of them is an independent statement. Whether according to Rashi, that means in each instance, we thought you didn't need Herav Shemesh, and then Leit Tikovet Rabatei, that you do require Herav Shemesh. According to the Balei Tosafot, that in both instances, we thought you needed mikveh. Leit Yikovah Kadeh means that you don't need mikveh at all, and that we paskin like Shmuel entirely. Now we go back to our Mishnah, which says that Bechor Nechal Shana B'Shana. A Bechor has to be eaten in its first year. And we discussed yesterday the machloket between the Balei Tosafot, the Rabbeinu Gershom, the Tosafot Arid, as to whom is the Mishnah referencing when it says it has to be eaten within its year, or what are the structures of the year and beyond the year. Now we're going to discuss how is that year calculated. Since the Mishnah says, if it gets a mum in its year, sounds like we're counting based on the years of the Bechor, not on the calendrical year. How do you know that's true? Because you eat it before Hashem each year. So, what is shana v'shana? Ezu shana shignechzet b'chaverta. Sounds like you have 2 years to eat it. But we know that you only have 1 year to eat it. So what does it mean, shana v'shana? What is a year that straddles 2 years? That is, shana shel b'chor. If you go by the birthday of the b'chor, we'll see later on there's a machloket amoraim as to whether you start counting from the David's birth or from the 8th day when it's ro'i to go on the mizbeach. But you count 1 year from there. If you count 1 year from that period of time, then it's going to straddle 2 years. Unless he's born on Rosh Hashanah, there's no way that it's not going to straddle 2 years. And that's the meaning of Shana Vishana in this instance, which is that it straddles or goes over 2 years, which is indicative of the fact that it's something that's counted by its own year and not the year of the calendar. And that's what it says. Kol b'chor shev yaleid b'karcha b'tzonka ha-zachar takdish l'ashem l'kecha lo tavod b'chor shirecha lo tagoz b'chor tenecha b'fnei shem l'kecha tochalenu shana b'shana b'makom shev kar Hashem ata uveitecha. So that's the shana b'shana, which means that it straddles over 2 years. The Bei Rav, Tana, Shana B'Shana, the Bei Rav has a different drasha here, Yom Echad B'Shana Zo, Yom Echad B'Shana Zo, that the eating of the chor can straddle 2 years, which means that you can have one day from this year and one day from the next year. Limeit, ala b'chor, shne'achal l'shnei yamim v'layla echad. That's how you know a b'chor, it's like a shlamim, it's eating for 2 days and one night. Because there's a possibility, if you shechted it on the last day of the previous year, you would eat on that last day, and the first day of the next year. So the Shana B'Shana is coming to teach you how long you have to eat a Bechor. It's not coming to teach you what year the Bechor is counted by, but rather, what is the time period for the eating of a Shlamim that is a Bechor. The Bei Rav, that we just said, used the drush of Shana Shana to teach you that it's 2 days and one night. Menalahu, where they know that the year of the Bechor is its own year, and not the calendrical year. Yalfe Mikodoshim. They learn it out from Kodoshim. Mikodoshim gufayu minolon. How do you know Kodoshim count by the year of the life of the animal? Amarav acha bar Yaakov amakra keves ben shnato. It says about a keves in its first year of life, that is a keves ben shnato. Shnato shelo v'lo shana shel minyan olam. It's its year, not the calendrical year. So therefore, its birthday is going to be when it comes through its own year, just like that's true by Kodoshim, it's also true by the Bechor. V'rav, Nechal l'shnei yamim v'layla echad minalei. The first drasha that we brought in the name of Rav, Rav Yudah Marav, that said that Shana Shana taught you that it's the Shana of the Bechor itself, not the calendar year. How does he know that a Bechor is eaten for 2 days and one night? Nafkalei, I learned it out from the Matnot Kuna that are mentioned in Parshat Korach. In Pasuk Yilchet says, U'bzaram yeh lach, kachazeh atnufa, u'kushoke yamim, lecha yeh. So that pasuk he says, "Hey Kishua Katul the Chazev Shok Shel Shlamim." It paralleled Bechor, the Basar of the Bechor, to the Chazev and the Shok. Malalan Shnei Yamim V'Layla Echad, Afkan Shnei Yamim V'Layla Echad. Just like by Shlamim, the pieces of the Shlamim that go to the Kohen Hamuram Mehem have the same din as the Shlamim itself. So the Chazev and Shok of a Shlamim are 2 days and one night. So too the Bechor is going to be 2 days and one night. V'idach, what does the Bei Rav do with that? That seems like a pretty good limud. How do you know which Chazen Shok is? The Chazen Shok are given from a Shlamim, which is 2 days and one night. It's also given from a Korban Todah, which is only 1 day and one night. It's not 2 days and one night. And you could have been that it's speaking about there, a Chazen Shok of a Todah. Vidach Amar Kra, the Rav says, no, the Pasuk ends, L'cha Iyeh. If you look in Rashi, the Girsot move around a little bit in Rashi and in the Rabbeinu Chananel as to what they're quoting. They could be quoting Ubsaram Yelach, Kachazat Shok Yamin, and they're quoting the Yelach again. Although the way that it's ordered in the Pasuk ends Lecha Yeh. And that's what seems to be quoted in the Gemara. Although if you look in Rashi, Rashi says Mi Yelach that they learn it out. But nevertheless, Lecha Yeh, Hosefa Lecha Katuv, Havaya Cheret, Bibichor. It's giving you a new Havaya, meaning that the extra Havaya comes to teach you that it's not going to be like a Todah, it's going to be like a Shlamim. Vidach, ha, mehotam, ikala meimar, hai, iyalach, imera bachor bamum, shenot no lukoin, shlo matzino lo, bechola turah kula. The other opinion who says that from, can't learn out, that it's talking about a shlamim, and not a todah. What does he do with lechayeh? He says lechayeh comes to teach you a bachor bamum, goes to the kohen. We don't find anywhere in the Torah that a bachor bamum is something that goes to the kohen. We know that a bachor tam goes to the mizbeach and is given to the kohen. But we don't know that a Bechor Balmum goes to the Kohen. And this will be the source. L'chaiya, it's yours. Whether it's a Tam, whether it's a Balmum, it is yours. That's the way Rashi explains it. Those of us are bothered by that because that's the nature of all Drashot of Chazal. Many things in the Torah are learnt this way. What's unique about this? That this isn't written anywhere else in the Torah. Of course it's not, because this is the Drasha. And we have many Drashot like that. So he says that what it means is that we don't matzino call it Torah Kula, means that this din is unique. And that is generally when something is ruined and can't go on the Mizbeach, it's also disqualified from the Kohen. And the Kohen gets nothing from it, just like the Mizbeach gets nothing from it. On the other hand, here, by Bechor Balmum, that's not true. even though the Mizbeach would not receive anything from the Bechor Balmum, the Kohen is still entitled to it and still gets it. And that's what it means, that that's the No Matzino Bechol HaTorah Kula. We don't find anywhere else where the Mum still entitles the Kohen to the receipt of such an item, and that's unique din over here, and that's what it's coming to me Mechadesh. It's not that it's teaching you about Bechor Balmum, that's a regular drasha like any other drasha. What's unique about this drasha is it makes it different than all other Kodoshim. Bidach, where's Rav learn out the Bechor Balmum from? He uses the Klayet to tell you that it's like a Shlamim. Amar Ubisaram Echadam Vechad Balmum. That the plurality that's used in the Pasuk, Ubisaram Yelach, Kachazet Tumach Shulchemim, why does it say Bisaram? Bisaram means both a Bisar of a Tam and a Bisar of a Balmum. Bidach, and the other one says, Ubisaram Dahani Bechorot Tukulu Yisrael Kamar. Saram doesn't mean Balmum and Tam. Saram means all Bechorot that are brought by Klal Yisrael, they belong to you. So that's why it uses the plurality. So according to Rav, Shana B'Shana teaches you that the year of the Bechor is its own year. Then the fact that the Bechor is eaten like a Shlamim comes from the fact that it's compared to a Chazev Shok. A Shlamim and not a Todah because of the Chayyeh, which is the extra Havayah. And how do we know a Bechor Balmum goes to the Kohen is from Ubisaram. The Beirav uses Shana Shana to teach you that it's Shnei Yamim V'Layla Echad. They learn out the personal year from other Kodeshim of Keves Ben Shnato. The Pasuk of Bisaram Yelach, Kechazet, V'Nash Shoki Yamim, doesn't prove you anything because of the fact that it could have been a Todah, could have been a Shlamim, so it doesn't tell you anything. The Chayyeh comes to teach you that a Bechor Balmum goes to the Kohen, and then the Bisaram, he says it's just a phrase because all the Bechorot of Israel go to the Kohanim. There's nothing significant in that phrase. Okay, we'll stop here by the two dots on the top of Chav Chet Amud Aleph.